Today on Real Radio.
And don't you think for a moment, you're saying, Pastor, that's judging. The Bible says you're supposed to judge, but not condemn. Jesus says you'll know them by their fruits. So you might say, hi, you know, Bill, nice to meet you. I'm going to examine your fruits for the next 60 days to see how fruity you are. If you're putting forth the fruit of the Spirit, then you know what? It's true that you're a believer. Honestly.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the book of Revelation. We're looking at chapter 19, where wedding and marriage terms are used metaphorically to describe the relationship between the Messiah and his church. There's a whole lot of celebrating going on in this section of the Apocalypse. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing in this study simply called, I Do.
Look at verse 8 again. The Lord has given us boasting rights, I guess. It says, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Very quickly this, we have boasting rights as a Christian. And let me put this down to you first. The book of Romans, powerful book, you should know it. The book of Romans is coming from the justification of the believer before God in heaven. That's why the book of Romans says we are justified by faith. The book of Romans tells us our true position with God in heaven. It's a reality. The book of James complements the book of Romans because the book of James tells us about our justification before man. God knows my faith. You don't, do you? You can never know my faith. How do you know my faith? By how I treat you, what I say to you, what I do to you. How I live for you. By you watching my life, you then over time can conclude he has faith in God. Based upon what? Based upon the book of James. What else? Based upon my works. Because my works show forth that I have faith in God. You see, the works come out of my relationship with God. My works do not establish my relationship with God. You see? To do the opposite is to become a cult. The book of Romans says, I am justified freely by faith in God, and I shall never be justified by any works of the law. How? Where? Before God. Okay, now that I'm justified before God by faith, I trust Christ, what do I do now? Then go live among your family and among your friends in your community and let them judge you. I mean that sincerely. Let them discern your faith. You see? James, the book of James, basically says this, and you've heard it before. James says, I'm going to watch your life. You say you're a Christian. James says, I'm going to watch your life. And at the end of a month, I'm going to tell you if you're a Christian or not. That was James' prerogative. That's every Christian's prerogative that you and I have. You meet somebody at the store. Hi, Bill. My name's Fred. Hey, Fred. Bill, nice to meet you. You're a Christian? No, I'm a Christian. Okay. Bill, I'm going to be watching you for the next 30 to 60 days, maybe longer, to see if the profession of your faith is true with your lifestyle. And don't you think for a moment, you're saying, Pastor, that's judging. The Bible says you're supposed to judge, but not condemn. Jesus says you'll know them by their fruits. So you might say, hi, you know, Bill, nice to meet you. I'm going to examine your fruits for the next 60 days to see how fruity you are. If you're putting forth the fruit of the Spirit, then you know what? It's true that you're a believer. Honestly, as Christians, we got to stop wearing our heart on our sleeve and grow up. When we say, I'm a Christian, the world ought to say, oh yeah, why don't you let us tell you if you're a Christian? Because that's exactly what they're doing, and they're right to do it. I name the name of Christ. You guys, this week, I don't know why I do this to myself. In fact, it was both Lisa and I, we were inflicting pain upon one another. We were channel surfing and came to so-called Christian television channels. Now there's quite a few of them. And I kid you not, we went from one to the other, to the other, to the other. There's about four or five of them. And everything was, it's your faith. You get to have it. And then we turned it, and the guy says, God wants you rich. And click, click, click. And in 5 seconds, in 5 channels, there was heresy. Boom, boom, boom. You don't have it, it's because you don't have enough faith. And you know, guys, I'm serious. Have you seen, and the camera pans and there's a million people in the crowd? I don't get it. Maybe, is that what we need to do to get a crowd? I'm telling you now, brother, you've got to come and you got to. I'm sorry, but are you going to say, you know what, doggone it. You know, honey, get on the phone and get all of our friends to come to church because today our you need to have it and I feel it. You guys, thousands and thousands of people come to that. I don't get it. But no, Pastor, when are you going to move on? What's this verse by verse stuff? We've been in the book of Revelation for like 20 years. I tell you, listen, we have boasting rights in this. It is awesome. We have been granted fine linen given by God, which is the righteous acts of the saints, meaning that God, now that we're saved, works things out in our lives. God moves us to do what's right. God moves us to bless him. God moves us to build universities and hospitals and feed people and whatever it is. To him be the glory. You see, just because it's the righteous acts of the saints doesn't mean that we have boasting rights of ourselves. No, no, no. We have boasting rights about God. Who's your God? The ancient world would say. When you go to Caesarea Philippi, at the headwaters of the Jordan River, they have all of these niches cut out in the rock where you placed your God and said, Diana is great. Diana is God. And then you did what Diana wanted. Or Zeus is wonderful. Zeus is, you know, whatever. And you do what Zeus wanted. And at that point, at that place, while that was going on, Jesus said, who do you say that I am? What a great moment. What a great answer. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We have boasting rights. To whom shall we go? This is boasting rights. You alone have the words of eternal life. When God says, I love you, that's boasting rights. My friend, the Bible says, if God be for us, what? Who can be against us? I can name you a lot of people. Who can be against it? Well, I got a list. But it doesn't matter. That's what Paul's point was. If God be for us, who can be against us? In other words, if God be for us, what does it matter who's against us? Okay? It's good to know. We have boasting rights. Third point, don't you want to know true meaning in a relationship with God? Don't you want to say I do to that? Don't you want to know true meaning in life? Why was I, you know, people ask these questions, why was I born? That's a great question if you don't know the answer. We have often given up on that because we don't say that anymore because we know why. People, I want to know the meaning of life. You can go to Borders Bookstore and buy books on the meaning to life. Well, listen, look with me here in verse 9. It says, then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Are you ready for this? Do you want to know true meaning? Do you want to say I do to that? Then listen, happiness. He has invited us to happiness. Then he said to me, right, blessed are those. That's the word happy. Happy are those. Sometimes Christians shy away from this word happy because we think it's fragile or weak. Yet the world is out there pursuing happiness. Our founding fathers wrote it in there that we would have the freedom to the pursuit of happiness. Happiness is a wonderful thing, and people are pursuing it. But the Bible says here that there's true blessedness or true happiness found in Christ. The invitation, by the way, is given globally. Right? Blessed are those. Now look, we're peering into the future. This portion of history has not been written in your life or mine. And the question is, do you want happiness? And your answer is, of course I do. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, then come to me, all you who labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. This is the voice of God. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So what did he say? Come to me. Isn't that beautiful? Verse 9 goes on, celebration. You want to know true meaning? God wants us happy and God wants us celebrating. That's where we're going. We're going to heaven. We're going to be happy there. No one's going to be unhappy in heaven. We'll be celebrating. Yesterday in a funeral that I did, I said, we need to make something real clear right now. David Moore, the funeral I did I say wedding? Funeral, right? The funeral. I said, we need to make something really clear. And as though it wasn't quite enough, I said, we cannot say today that David is resting in peace. What? So the Bible makes it very clear, because David loved the Lord. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. The moment he opened up his eyes, he heard the rejoicing of heaven. He heard loud angels proclaiming the glory of God. He sees four of these cherubim falling down before the throne. And he sees all of this stuff with music playing, anything but resting in peace. Doesn't that sound kind of morbid? May he rest in peace. Well, who's dead? I think those that would attend would be dead. The one who died believing in Jesus is more alive than he ever has been. You know, when you get to heaven, think about it. No one's going to go, shh, what? We're in heaven. Got to be quiet. Why? I don't know. Maybe it's a West Coast thing, but it's so morbid. And then you go to a wonderful funeral of a brother or sister down south, and they bring out the music. And they dance down the street. And they're singing songs of praise and worship. They're giving God the glory, and they're thanking their brother or their sister for their life lived. And they're just praising, and they're weeping, and they're singing songs impromptu, right on the spot. And they make it up. We can't wait to be with you, oh brother Mike. And we are going to come see you, oh brother Mike. And they start singing. And I think, you know what, that's it. That's what we need to do. If not in our culture, in our heart. They got it down. Celebration. Celebration. Then he said to me, right, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Very quickly, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed are those who are called. I'm just going to give you some verses. You got to look them up later. Look at John chapter 3, verse 29. That's one who was invited. That's John the Baptist was invited to the wedding to come. Israel is invited to the wedding to come. The Old Testament saints are invited to the wedding to come. Listen, the tribulation saints are invited. They're called to the wedding to come. Do you know who's not invited? You may find it interesting. It's the answer to the question you may have in your mind about, you know, what's happened in this chapter of the Bible. Israel's invited. The Old Testament saints are invited. The tribulation saints are invited. John the Baptist was invited when John the Baptist said, hey, he who is the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the kingdom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly for the bridegroom's voice. John was speaking about himself. John is invited to the wedding. You know who's not invited? Well, let me ask you this. Is Jesus invited to the wedding? No, there is no wedding without him. Who else is there but not invited? The church. The bride is not invited. She is the wedding. These that are invited are all of the others that will attend eternity. It's amazing. Think about an invitation you get from somebody who's getting married. That bride who mails those things out will never mail one to herself. That's very important. We need to press on for time's sake. Do you want to know true meaning? The answer, of course, is I do, and that is relaxation. He has invited us to relax. Look at verse 9. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. I'll simply put this picture in your mind. Time does not allow. The falling into his word. Listen, into his promise. Relax. These are the true sayings of God. In other words, I will never let you down. I will never let this fail. Again, isn't that exactly what a bride wants to hear? Isn't that exactly what a groom wants to hear? You know, what a pathetic, terrible morning this Sunday morning is for that man who was engaged to this woman who ran out. What do you think he feels like? Oh, she didn't show up late. She didn't show up at all. Oh, she wasn't down at the local bar and grill. She went to Vegas. How do you think he feels? You know, Jesus will never do that to you, ever. So relax. Fourth and final point, do you want to know unconditional acceptance? John says, listen to this, he can't take it anymore. I love it. I fell at his feet, John speaking, I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, don't do that. I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Don't you love it? John is looking at all this. You guys, bear with me, and we'll be done here in a second quickly. John's like, oh, ah, wow. He sees everything going on. He sees all this wedding stuff, and John just goes, that's it. And he falls on his face and begins to worship. And the angel, or someone in heaven, somebody other than the Lord, grabs him and says, don't do that. Stand up. I'm a fellow brother of yours. Get up. Worship God. Yeah, okay. He was overwhelmed. He knew what was up, but he just, oh my goodness, this is awesome. And he hits the floor in worship. Too much for John to see. And look what he says. I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. My friend, quickly, John was at home in heaven. He saw his new home and he fell down. I want to suggest to you that when you see your new heaven, your new home, you'll fall down. Verse 10 teaches us also that John had something to say. It says, these are the ones, the Christians, the believers, those who know God, those who came out of the tribulation period, those who came to faith in Christ have a testimony. The word testimony is the same word witness. Do you have a witness for Christ? Do you have a testimony? Do you know what God has done in your life? And then look with me in verse 10, a hope. Do you want to know unconditional acceptance? Look at the hope. It says, for this is the testimony of Jesus, which or is the spirit of prophecy, meaning that the future belongs to Jesus Christ. My friend, you will never go wrong in investing in Jesus, ever. Think of that. I want to end with this, and if you want to write it down, that'd be great. I'll just paraphrase it, bringing this together. How precious is this before us? Church, listen, research it later. This is your homework today. Genesis 24, read it. Why? Because you have the story in prophecy. You have Abraham, who is a picture of God the Father in heaven, who turns to his chief servant. And you won't get his name, by the way, out of the chapter 24. You have to read back in chapter 22. Abraham turns to his head servant and, without giving the name, says, go find my son a wife. Can you imagine having that job? He loads up camels filled with gifts and he goes on a long journey. Everybody with me? Now we know from Genesis 22 that that servant's name is Eliezer. Abraham tells Eliezer, go find my son Isaac a bride. He heads off and he's talking to God the whole way, right? Show me, show me, show me, show me, show me. And finally he comes to the home and there is Rebekah. And what does she do, church? She comes out. In fact, he says, Lord, show me who it is by having her water my camels. She comes out and starts watering his camels. Huh? She's a servant. Fine linen, clean and bright, forged the righteous acts of the saints. She's watering his camels and taking care of his men, welcoming them in to her father's home. He says, he tells her something about a man who could be her husband-to-be in the future if she says, I do, right? The deal is talked about and the proposition's made to the father. And the father of Rebekah says, well, you know, let her stay here for a while and think about it. She heard about this one named Isaac. And she said, sight unseen, my friend. She said, you know what? Mom, Dad, I love you. Brothers and sisters, you're right on. I love you. I got to go. Can you imagine? Rebecca says, see ya. She gets on this camel train, this caravan with strangers. Eliezer, the Bible, read it carefully. All the way there, Eliezer is giving her gifts along the way. Gifts of promise, probably. Gifts of things that indicated her husband's wealth, her husband-to-be. As they're pulling up, she must have heard enough from Eliezer about Isaac that when the caravan pulled up, Isaac was sitting in the field relaxing. He wasn't farming. Church, what's Jesus doing right now? He's seated at the right hand of God the Father, relaxing. He said, it's finished. Eliezer, you know what his name means in Hebrew? One who comforts, or the comforter. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus call the Holy Spirit? The comforter. What is the Holy Spirit's job? To get out of the world a bride readied to meet the Christ, Jesus. The Bible says that Rebecca jumped off the camel and she ran to Isaac. Don't you think that Eliezer must have been telling her a lot of stuff? He's so cool. He's so this, he's so that. And she's like, oh boy. They didn't have pictures back then. You know, here's a picture of him 8x10. What do you think? She fell in love, church, listen, she fell in love with his character and with his nature. She fell in love with who he was, sight unseen. And the Bible says that he took her to his parents' home and she became his wife. Do you know what the Hebrew scholars would tell you? That Isaac would have grabbed Rebecca and said, hi, Rebecca, my name's Isaac, and I promise to never leave you or forsake you. I promise to be yours all the days of our lives. I promise to raise our children up, and I pledge myself to you. I'll give you all that I have. My father's the richest man on the planet, which makes me the richest man on the planet, which, if you say yes, makes you the richest girl on the planet. I absolutely adore you. You're wonderful. I trust my father's judgment completely. God was in this whole thing from start to finish, and he makes all these promises. And do you know what? Do you know what? Her job was to, you know what her response was supposed to be? I do. He made the vows. That's why the Bible says in the male gender, husbands, be faithful to the vows of the wife of your youth. Why? It was only required for the husband to give promise. All she was supposed to do was say, I do. Do you agree with these things, Rebecca? I do. Woo-hoo! Jesus says, I'm coming. Don't give up faith. Don't quit. Don't lose heart. I'm coming. I'm preparing a place for you. I'm coming.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study of Revelation 19 and verses 6 through 10. It's simply called, I Do, a reference to the marriage of the Lamb found in this passage. You know, this final apocalyptic book of Scripture is quite the exciting text to delve into. And that's just one of the reasons we've made Pastor Jack's recent studies in it available online. Visit us at www.realradioactive.org. You can listen to it right then and there, or download it to hear it at a time that more agrees with your schedule. You may also subscribe to our podcasts of Real Radio. Remember, there's no charge for any of this. realradioactive.org. Now, you can also contact us by telephone, area code 909-393-7100, 909-393-7100. And if you've been enjoying Real Radio, remember that you can make a tax-deductible contribution to our radio fund. You may do so online, call us, or send in your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.